If you cried out for more, if you reached out for me, I would run until the storm, just to keep you here with me. I have gone beyond my years.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar, hanging out at the War Memorial in Nashville, Tennessee, with Christian of Stone Sour. Christian, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Dude, thank you so much for doing this, and I see a lot of unfamiliar friends that I want to learn about. So talk to me about let's start with the number one.
All right, so this is my main E flat guitar. This is Shandy. It's a 1980 Les Paul custom. Yeah, I got this from RJ Ronquillo, who's a Nashville guitarist, an old friend of mine. He had it forever. And you know, we use three tunings. Mm-hmm. So I've got three main guitars for each tuning. And
Have you done anything to that guitar to kind of make it your own?
Well, actually, yeah, I use DiMarzio pickups.
Okay.
And for my E flat guitars, I use the Super Distortion and the Bridge, old school, and Air Norton and the neck. Right. And that's pretty much it. I did put jumbo frets on it. Get mad at me all you want, but I gotta play the thing, you know. So.
And I love how it ages, because most people will think that's a certain color burst, but it started its life as a silver burst.
Yeah, man,
that's just
it's
how
cool.
They fade.
Yeah, it's the nitro clear coat does that. It just this is Tweet. This is my backup E flat. It's a 97 custom shop Les Paul. Same thing. I just changed the pickups. I changed the knobs. I put a black pick guard on it and. Added this guy right here, and that's pretty much it. Same thing, jumbo frets on it.
Is this a newer model, or is it from the 80s? Because I see some checking and wear on the
It's a 97,
okay.
Actually. It was just about perfect until we did this Canadian run recently, and it was in sub-zero temperatures.
Oh.
So a lot of them cracked, but I don't mind. I think it's cool, you know?
Yeah, no, it looks great.
Doesn't bother me at
and
all.
And it's bright as the sun.
Okay, this one, my friend Keith Horn in North Hollywood, he's a local luthier. He has this company, Marvin Guitars, and he's just amazing. And I told him that basically what I wanted was a 1960s Moos Rite that was built exactly like a Les Paul. And he came up with this, and it is hands down the coolest guitar. It just sounds amazing.
Well, it's cool that it's full circle, because you played with Dee Dee for those years.
Yeah.
So for you to have a Moos Rite makes sense.
Holy crap, you did some homework.
No, that's, it's just being a fan.
That's super cool, man.
What
but
do you
yeah,
got?
I did. So these guitars kind of have a soft spot for me, and also I'm a huge MC5 fan, so Fred Sonic Smith used one of the, well, kind of one of these.
Yeah.
But yeah, I prefer the tone of the, you know, the mahogany set neck type deal.
And what's that bridge pick up there?
Okay, so like the other guitars, this one is a Air Norton, DiMarzio Air Norton, and I'm using a D-Sonic on these. And the reason for that is because I didn't want to have to adjust my EQ too much, switching between the two tunings.
Yeah.
And, you know, some pickups are better for lower tuning than others. And this actually has a pretty similar EQ curve. Like, it just sounds great in these tunings, which is extremely challenging.
Yeah. And are you using just the bridge mainly, or do you use the neck from time to time?
I've been kind of working the neck in a little bit. I mean, I used, you know, Super Strat style guitars for a long time with one pickup. So I'm actually just getting used to using a neck pickup, because it just wasn't really something I ever did. I was more bare bones than that, but I don't know. I guess we've been playing more, we've been doing more stuff, and I just like to fidget around a little bit, you know?
What, I mean, you brought it up, and I'll just be curious, what was the move from Charvo in terms of bringing on the Les Pauls and this Moos Rite beast?
Honestly, man, I had gotten a really good deal on a couple of old Les Pauls from a friend of mine, and as much as I love the Charvels, and it just, once I got a taste of that thicker sort of set mahogany tone kind of, you know, whatever it is, maybe it's not the wood, I don't know, but whatever it is, all of these new guitars have it, and it's a sound that I don't think I can ever
go away
just
from.
Just leave, yeah. You know? I love it. It's great, man.
I think you're speaking to our audience. They you know, that never-ending quest in terms of, like, that chasing that sound and just always trying things.
A lot of people, there's debates about, oh, it's just the pickups, it's just this, it's just that. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the scientific purpose is. Scientifically, my ears tell me that these sound great.
Yeah.
And, you know, our producer thought so, and so does everybody else here. So, I mean,
do you guys run in ear monitors?
We do, and that's the thing.
I can hear
you
it too.
really everything sounds great when you plug into a super loud amp by yourself in a room. Not everything sounds great when you put it under a microscope and
you know, and
you're in a band setting. Like, there's certain mid-range frequencies that need to cut. There's a lot of things, man. You really hear yourself when you use those things, for better or worse.
Yeah, I was gonna say for better or worse.
Yeah, because if you're playing like crap, you hear it, and so does the rest of the band.
It forces you to practice.
Yeah,
let's get into the guitars.
Okay, this is, as of now, this is kind of a backup C-sharp guitar, although I do plan on using it on a few songs. It's another guitar from my friend Keith at Marvin, and it's amazing. It's just great, man. I mean, I don't know. I was using it a lot on the last tour. I may just be using the purple one more now, just because it's such a unique, different guitar, and it's brand new. But
it's great in photos, I bet, too.
Yeah, man. They're both great, and I love that it's like a Les Paul Junior style shape with an old school Fender Sonic blue color.
Yeah.
And it's nitro, and just like the other guitars, it's checked to hell from that last trip.
It's got that slight contour too, just so you know.
Yeah, it's really comfortable, man. It's just a great guitar. Same pickup combo, DiMarzio D-Sonic, Air Norton, jumbo fret, ebony fretboard.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a good one, man.
As you go grab one of these Zamidas, have you ever messed around with neck through guitars? You know, I know that all these are set necks.
Yeah, actually I do. Two of my favorite guitars that are at home are, one of them's a 1978 BC Rich Mockingbird, which is my favorite guitar I own. And Corey actually was nice enough to give me one as a gift. And it's also, so I have one made by Bernie Rico Sr.
Oh, wow.
And I have one made by Bernie Rico Jr. The reason why those guitars stay at home is because in a live setting, they're just neck divers.
Oh, yeah.
They're not very comfortable to hold up and play because they're constantly doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But at home, when I'm sitting down and playing, there's nothing like them. Thought about maybe sticking some fishing weight in the control cavity to kind of balance it out. But I wouldn't be surprised if I bring out at least the Bernie Rico Jr. one.
Did you use any of those, like, on Hydrograde or anything?
I actually did, yeah. I used the 78 Mockingbird on a lot of rhythms. All the solos are the Charvels, but a lot of the rhythms... you know, that's kind of where I started coming to the realization that no matter what pickups I was putting in the Strat style guitars, I don't want to say they lacked, because it's a very subjective thing, but I wanted to hear more, I guess, lower mids out of the guitar, and I wasn't able to get that, and I just, you know, after a while, you just kind of have to stop fighting.
Yeah, right.
Things like, no, I'm using that. You know, it's, you just gotta. Those things are great for what they are. They're awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and for a super Strat, I don't think a Charvel can be beat, especially their custom shop.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of scale, and it's a matter of.
Taste too.
Yeah, and taste, man, and you know.
All right, yeah, this guy.
Yeah, so this guy, Zamidas, 25-inch scale, just a perfect guitar for the tunings I'm using it in. It has, it's mahogany, it's set neck, it's got a flame maple carved top, and like the other guitars, ebony board, jumbo fret. This cutout on the back of it's amazing, because it's got like the Les Pauls over here, they kind of, you know, they come to about here, but on these I can really get up there when I need to. And
what tuning did you say you put this in?
This is in drop B,
okay,
which is of extremely challenging tuning to to make a guitar sound good in, especially when you're using passive pickups. Mm-hmm. And the reason I use passive pickups is I feel like I just feel like that there's a dynamics in there when you're playing guitar that you lose with the compression of mm-hmm. active pickups. And not really any guitar player I ever grew up listening to uses active pickups.
It's like that bass line you've had as a kid, you know, like that's what you've always heard, and that's kind of back to the Les Pauls and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was Ace Frehley and guys like that. So, you know, that's why the Super Distortion and the Les Pauls, and why I spent, you know, a lot of time soldering and whatever to actually find another pickup that would work as well in the lower tunings.
What do you use for strings, particularly on this one? And is it different than their other Les Pauls in the Marvin?
Well, yeah, for D'Addario, I'm using... for the heavier tunings, like the C-sharp and the drop B, mm-hmm. It's 11 to 56.
Alrighty.
And for E-flat, it's 10 to 46. I use D'Addario's, the NYXLs. Right. And last... but not least, this is the first Zemitis I got, and this is a custom shop model too, and it's amazing, man. It's just a great guitar. It's very similar specs to the other one, only this one is obviously solid mahogany and has a metal front on it. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I'm not using this one as my main right now is because it has the original frets on it. Oh. And they're really small, and I can get used to them and I can play them, but the other one has the frets that I like on it. So eventually I'm going to get some bigger frets on this guy, because they really help, especially with the bigger strings and, mm-hmm. you know, some of the...
I was watching an interview you did a couple years ago. And it was, I think it was before one of the last major tours you guys did. And you had said that you had A-B'd all the guitars and the finishes and the pickups to get to hear to what one would play better and which tunings.
Yeah.
Do you do that with these ones?
I did, man. I'm a psychopath. But
you're like the metal Eric Johnson.
Yeah, well,
in terms
I wish.
Of like he can hear everything from between the difference of a Duracell and an Energizer.
I think it really comes down to using the in-ear monitors and spending a lot of time in recording studios.
Yeah.
Because like I said, man, when something's blaring in your face, you don't hear mm-hmm. the nuances. And with this stuff, a lot of it was kind of a no-brainer, because the lower tuning guitars, I should have mentioned this earlier too, like the Marvins and the Zemitis, those are 25-inch scale, so they're a little bit, just slightly longer than my older Gibsons.
Yeah.
That little extra bit of tension works really well with the strings, but it also, it seems like it brightens the tone up a little bit, and it takes a little bit of the mud out of the that type of constructed guitar, you know. So they work perfect, man. They're awesome. In fact, when I got the Zemitises and I heard how good they sounded with that scale and those tunings, when Keith made the Marvins, I was like, you know, we should try these at a 25-inch scale since they're going in lower tunings. Mm-hmm. And it works great, man.
Perfect.
It's awesome. Best guitar sound I've had ever.
Cool. Well, on that note, let's, I think... I peeked around the corner earlier. You're back to Marshall, right?
Yeah, man. I've been using the same JCM 800 head since I was 13. I got one off my sister's boyfriend, and it's still in my garage. That's my main guitar sound on Hydrograd. Part of it was I didn't want to rely on an amp from 1982, which I only had one of.
Yeah.
For the touring stuff, so I took a chance and I tried out some other things, and I just kept coming back to that sound. And I don't know if it's a better sound, but it's my sound.
Yeah.
And you know, my rig is really stupid. You know, it's just, I have a main JCM 800 head, and I have a backup. They're the newer reissue ones, and they're great. I have an old Boss Super Overdrive pedal that's on all the time, the drive is set really low, the level set all the way up. Keep the preamp gain to about 7, which is not a lot on those heads at all.
Yeah.
And that just kind of kicks it in a little bit more. And either the super distortion or the D-Sonic that's in the guitars hits the front end and just gives it that little extra bit of push. I'm just not really a big fan of modern high gain amp sounds.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. You like what you grew up listening mm-hmm. to. So I had to find a way to take what I like and be able to apply it to this music, you know?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, as much as I'd love to use, like, you know, the super distort, like the Ace Frehley sound and stuff for all the stuff we do, the bottom line is those guys didn't play on drop B and C sharp and stuff. So there's, you have to compensate, you have to find things that work. And, you know, just using an overdrive pedal in front of the amp just really, it really tightens it up and you know, allows the amp to sound good and not be muddy, because that's always a concern when you're tuning down a guitar
yeah.
that low. But that said, I do like using the 3 tunings. I think it just gives us 2 extra colors to paint
yeah.
with. And I just, why limit yourself? You know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, that modern drop tuning stuff. It's like, I mean, you know, Tony Iommi was doing that stuff on Master of Reality. So, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but if that's modern to you, I don't know.
Right?
It isn't to me.
Do you know what tubes are in there? If they're the KTs or the EL34s?
They're just EL34s. Okay. That's just a sound I've always used and I'm comfortable with.
Cool. And just run us through what other effects you got on your board real quick, too.
All right. Well, this is my my pedal board. There's really not much to it. I've got a tuner. I've got the super overdrive, which stays on all the time. I've got a ISP decimator noise gate,
yeah,
which
I need.
I never had to use them until I started using wireless units, but mm-hmm. they're necessary. And this is one of the more transparent ones that I found. It just works great.
I like the air quotes there.
Yeah. And I've got the Electro Harmonix Micro Pog that I use for certain songs. And the reason I use this one instead of the bigger one is because if something has more than like 3 or 4 knobs on it, I check out. I have the Seymour Duncan Catalina dynamic chorus on here that I basically have the knobs turned all the way up to 10 to create this really crazy sound that I use on songs like Fabulous and stuff like
right.
that. It's a really cool effect. And then just the old Van Halen Phase 90.
Can't go wrong.
You gotta have one of those.
One knob, you're set.
My lead boost is pretty much the same thing that a lot of guitar players that I loved in the 80s did. It's just a MXR 10 band EQ. And it's basically just set for a mid boost. A lot of people think that, you know, when they hear solos that it's a volume thing. And a lot of times it does add a little bit of volume,
it's about frequency.
But a lot of times it's about frequency.
Yeah, I know Kerry King used that too.
So many people use that. And it's all about what works great with your amp too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of these pedals, especially the Phase 90, the 10 band EQ and the Super Overdrive, those were designed to work with Marshalls.
Yeah, and can't mess mm-hmm. with that recipe.
Yeah, man, it's my sound, man.
Cool.
You know?
Christian, thank you so much. We got to hurry and get the rest of the guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, same spot, new dude, Johnny. Johnny, how you doing?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Doing very well. Love the Misfits shirt.
Of course.
Love your bass playing. So talk to me about your
Thanks, man.
Warwick.
This is a custom bass that I had made for me with Warwick a few years back. I've got a couple other customs that are in customs at the moment.
Yeah.
Waiting to get those. Hopefully I'll get those this week. This bass, I've got 2 of these exact same way. These are my 2 front runners for my B tuning and my C sharp tuning.
Working with him, did you have anything particular that you were going, or is this just a straight-up streamer?
It's a streamer with a few little adjustments. The woods are different than, okay, like the pro teams, okay, team built streamers.
And they have, like, wasn't those ones like Babinga?
This one has Babinga. It's also got Renge in it.
Okay.
And the rosewood fretboard as well. I wanted a neck through because I think it holds the tension better, mm-hmm, especially for the lower tunings.
Yeah.
I've got the MEC's JJ pickups, which really sound great. I've never been a jazz player. Starting out, I always had a Fender P, never, mm-hmm, Fender Jazz. But I like the tone that I get out of these. I am with Kerry Nordstrand. He makes great pickups. He's out of LA.
Mm-hmm.
And my other bass that I have over there that I can grab and show you, much different than this bass. This one really is deep, it's big, it's boomy, it's got a lot of bite to it, holds a lot of low end as well.
Yeah. And so you said this is for the low tunings, the B?
The C sharp, okay, and the B. And okay, then for our E flat tuning.
Yeah.
This one is set up more like an actual jazz or a Fender P. It's got the swamp ash body.
Got the bolt on,
maple neck, rosewood fretboard. I have the Nordstrand pickups, these blades. These are awesome, man. This thing screams.
Are they active?
These are passive, actually.
Okay.
So it's a completely different tone. I use it more for my E-flat, the E-flat tuning. It has a nice growl, cuts through really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And has more of a classic kind of a tone,
yeah,
as opposed to the other ones that are really big bottomy and, like, you know, especially for that low tuning.
Yeah, rock and roll bass.
Yeah, for sure. And the customs that I'm getting made are geared a little bit more towards this, as far as like the classic kind of P, swamp ash, mm-hmm, body, maple neck, rosewood fretboard. It'll have a PJ setup rather than a JJ.
A little more versatility.
Yeah, and they'll be loaded with Nordstrands as well. One knob, just volume. They make a bass treble mid for the any kind of, you know, if I want to peel a little bit more bass on, mm-hmm, there, put a little bit more bass on there, peel some of the mids out, but it sets. So once you cap it up,
yeah,
it's that way until you uncap it and go back into it. But to be honest with you, with the tones that I'm getting right now with my setup, I don't really have to mess with this that much, as far as, like, you know, I need to get more here, more there, less there, this.
Yeah.
So it's pretty nice. I just kind of keep it simple, you know, volume knob. And it's kind of like how I like it, man.
It's like Ronco, set and forget it.
I mean, I grew up in the punk rock hardcore scene.
Yeah.
You know, you plug in to whatever amp you have and you make it work with your playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if you really wanted to, you know, mess with it, you get other pedals and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, but that's basically, you know, my bass setup.
Cool. And during shows and gigs, are you using pick, or are you kind of going between?
I'm mostly using pick, but I do use my fingers on a few songs, a little bit more of the mellower songs,
yeah,
that don't call for that attack. A lot of the songs that we do have a really heavy bass attack.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't set out to be that way, some of the older stuff, my style of playing is very, got a lot of attack on it.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way at all, man. You know, just as an aggression.
It's your signature, though.
Yeah, I definitely play aggressively.
And I remember reading that you kind of had back problems, or you're having back problems, or sciatic nerve problems.
Yeah.
Is that why maybe you're trying to change up the basses?
A
little more weight relief?
I mean, not really, but it's such a, it is a great, like, oh yeah, this added bonus.
Yeah.
I mean, the custom basses are so heavy.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous. This one is a much lighter bass.
I could just see you pick it up and it seems like a relief.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a huge added bonus for me on stage because I have a wide stance and I tend to bang my head a lot. And,
yeah,
you know, that's an awkward position for the body as it is anyways for an hour and a half. And just having that extra weight on you really, like, you know, kind of crushes your back a little bit, you know.
We did a rig rundown a couple years ago with Tom and the rest of the guys from Slayer, and he had this device his brother made him.
Yeah, Johnny made him this weight belt.
Yeah, where it takes all the weight off that.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, he actually takes the coupler like this and put that on the weight belt, and then had a, like,
you can, like, other, spin it even too.
This one, yeah, where you could have it on there, and it took all the weight and put it on his lower hips because he has upper back problems.
Yeah, he was off the
shelf for a while. So it helped him tremendously. So, and kudos to Johnny for thinking of that, you know.
Ingenuity.
Yeah, exactly. For sure, man.
Well, I know that I peaked, and I know that you're an Eden guy, and I know that you use those in the studio.
Yep.
You're a big proponent of the Frank bass.
Oh, I love Spirit the Frank bass.
Yeah. But no bass is here, man. So talk to me about how you're doing this.
Yeah, you know what, man? A few years back, a good friend of ours who's recently passed away, Big Shirt, he was our front of house guy. He asked me to come out after soundcheck, and I walked out there, and he's like, mate, he's like, I want you to listen to something and just keep an open mind about everything. And I'm like, yeah, what's going on, man? He's like, well, because he was recording the soundcheck. Mm-hmm. He's like, I want to play you something. So he played me full band, the whole band. Then he broke it down to bass and drums, and then he broke it down to just bass. And I was like, wow, man, sounds great. Sounds awesome, man. And he's like, okay, hold on. I'm going to do the same thing. I want you to listen again. And did the same thing. A full band, drums and bass, and then just the bass. And I was like, wow, it's like almost, it's better. I can hear everything more. It's more clear, but it still has that big, huge mm-hmm. sound to it. I'm like, what'd you add to it? He's like, it's nothing I added. It's something I took away. I'm like, what'd you take away? He's like, I took away the mic. I was like, you took away the mic? He's like, yeah, you know what? You don't have your amps on stage, and you have this big cabinet screaming down the hallway. No phasing issues, nothing. You get everything right from your directs. He's like, just hear me out and give me a couple days with this and see what people start saying to you. Sure enough, I started getting incredible compliments on the tone, how clear it was, how crisp
awesome.
It was, how much low end it had, how much growl it had. You could hear everything. You weren't getting that muddiness of the mic. I mean, technically, I think with bass, you're supposed to have the mic so much further away from it because the actual waveform doesn't actually match up until feet later. Away from the actual speaker. So when you're slamming a mic right up on that, you know, as you're not getting the true tone that you're supposed to be getting out of that bass cabinet anyways. So because of Big Shirt, I've been rolling with just going direct.
What are the two direct boxes you got?
So what I do is, so I have my wireless unit that I go into this tuner as a more of a, kind of like a mute and just to have as a tuner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm endorsed with a company called Dark Glass Electronics. Amazing, man.
Finland, right? Finnish company.
Yep. Great guys, man. Met them a couple years ago at NAMM through a friend of mine, Rem. Amazing tech. So I go into the compressor from Dark Glass. I then go into the Earthquaker Chorus, which is awesome as well. And I keep a slight chorus on there just to give it a little bit more fluidity. Flows a little bit more. From that, I go into my Alpha Omega by Dark Glass.
Yeah.
And that was designed by the Dark Glass guys and John Stockton from the band Carnival out Australia.
Mm-hmm.
John's a great guy, amazing bass player, and they just had this great idea just to really have something super ballsy and intense without it. I don't know, man. I don't know how to describe it. It's very clean. It's very crisp. There's no muddiness whatsoever with it. You don't lose any bottom. The mids are, everything is just right there. It's perfect. And then I go from there, I jump over to, I have an Eden Terra Nova. It's actually a prototype that they had made at NAMM last year. Luke Green, who was working for Eden at the time, said, we want you to try this out. We know you're in the studio. Tried it out in the studio, loved it. It was great. Now I have it here. So I have that for my clean tone.
Mm-hmm.
It's very big and round. It's right in your face, but it's no distortion whatsoever. So I've got those two lines going out the front of house, and they're blended.
Just mix it,
And it sounds awesome. And then I also have the MicroTubes 900 by Dark Glass that powers my two. I have my own wedges that Eden had built me. And those wedges scream, man. And it's pretty awesome that they made me those wedges as well.
Yeah.
It's not for the audience, it's more for me.
Yeah,
but
you're selfish, it's all right.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm sure Eden would love to have their cabinets up on stage and their amps, but they've been really good to me, and I've been with them for over 6 years, 7 years, and they understand where I'm going and what I do and with my tone and whatnot, so they're, you know, they're not like, oh,
they're along for the ride.
Yeah, exactly, man, exactly.
Cool, Johnny.
So. Hey,
appreciate
brother.
It, dude.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right, last but not least, Josh. Josh, how you doing?
Doing great, man.
Dude, love it. Fellow Iowan. We share the same homeland, so it's great.
Yeah.
Fun, but you got the Falcons on there. Nonetheless, let's talk guitars, because that's more important than sports.
Yeah.
grab one of your main guitar, like you say your number one.
Well, my number one right now
I mean, actually, technically, I have three number ones because we do three different tunings. Okay. So, but my primary guitar that gets used the most is this custom shop Talman. That was made for me. Dan Lawrence actually did the paint job, who's a legendary the artist that's done tons of guitars for many years. I sent it off to him and he painted it, and you know, I call this guitar Rizzo. This is Rizzo 2.0. The original one I broke on Shiprock, which was an RG. And this is my main C sharp guitar. It's got, you know, Evolution pickups in it. Went back to DiMarzio, and then the other main thing is the Godos that are locking.
Okay.
I've switched all my guitars now. All have those. I absolutely love them.
I know that you've always had that. Well, you've been a long time Ibanez dude. You played PRS with the Audio Secrecy album, but back to Ibanez, obviously. But I always associated you with the SA or the S series. What made you try out the Talman?
Honestly, the weight.
Oh.
I really talked to them as far as when it was time to do a couple of new custom shop guitars, that I wanted something really light. And the Talman, I mean, the S is light, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There was just the way that it felt to me. Mm-hmm. And it just felt more like the SA that I was used to playing, but not as heavy. So that's why I went with it. And I just, you know, it just fits my body the best out of all the Ibanezes. I play all of them. I have every model you can think of under the sun, but just for the comfort of it, especially live. That is one of the reasons why I just did the brief stint with PRS. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, they worked really good when we did Audio Secrecy, and I still ended up using some of my Ibanez stuff on that album, just because it's something I've always played. But then the minute that we started touring, I couldn't play the PRS, and I actually contacted them. I was like, I'm sorry, you know. I sent all the stuff back to them. I was like, I appreciate everything. I was just like, it's a whole other animal versus sitting down versus actually moving around. And Ibanez is where, you know, I belong.
Kind of,
I
mean, started.
I mean, I started playing them when I first started playing, so, you know, and you know, we had a little bit of a fallout there for about 9 months, but I mean, it's where I belong, and I have no intentions of ever being anywhere else. So.
Cool, man. And notice the change here is the passive pickups with normally I've associated with EMGs, 81s.
Correct. Well, the thing is the band's changed.
Yeah.
So initially I was playing DiMarzio in the beginning, and you know, with the other members at that time in the band, I'm all about complimenting the band as a whole. Mm-hmm. And when I was playing the passives before, I was really fighting when the other two members were playing active.
Yeah.
Of, you know, sitting in the mix right. Mm-hmm. And so now that two new members basically are in the band, it allowed me to go back to DiMarzio, which I prefer over the, you know, the EMGs or Fishmans. I love them, but they're a very one-trick pony. They do one thing very well, and the dynamics of the band has changed so much, and actually us musically on this last record, where it's not all this precise picking that I need that attack. I want more of a full sound and not that less of that pick attack. So, you know, I went through a bunch of different pickups. I know, obviously, being an Ibanez guy, almost every Ibanez comes with DiMarzio, so I know, like, every model that they make, and the Evolutions are what works the best for me. I mean, I have a couple other different ones that we'll get to in here in a minute, but this is my primary guitar.
Cool.
For C sharp.
And strings for this one?
D'Addario, 56 through 11. Okay. I use that for all my tunings. I used to change it up, and then it just started throwing me off, and it's like, the reality, and I was like, the reality is this. You know, the tension's a little bit different, but just my pickup placement was off, and it was bugging me. And it's like, I don't really do much string bending, so I can comfortably have a set of 11s on a guitar that's tuned to E, or a guitar that's tuned to C sharp.
Yeah.
So, so that's basically it.
Cool. Well, let's move on down the line.
This is my newest one.
Ooh, love the color.
Yeah. that they had made. And it's basically just like Rizzo. This one's called Jasper, which...
Is there any particular reason how you're picking your names for your guitars? I know it started with your daughters.
Yeah, a long time ago, and their guitars, I don't have them out with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rizzo actually, the original Rizzo, the whole story of it is kind of just fun because I bought a hot pink RG and everybody was gave me crap about it and dared me to play it on stage. And it's like, I did. And then I told everybody I was going to polka dot it. Nobody believed me. And I came back the next tour with it polka dotted. And Rizzo's just basically the character in Grease. I mean, that's who it's named after. With Jasper, I mean, this guitar's story is a lot more very important to me. I let the fans name this guitar or have the chance to name it, and I had a ton of people obviously enter to do that. But one of the stories that somebody had sent in is of a young man that suffered with depression for a couple years and ended up taking his life. And for the story just struck a chord with me.
Yeah.
And over a couple of days, I just made that decision that, you know, I was going to name it after him and his honor. And then on top of it, then I added the suicide hotline.
Oh, right.
On the guitar strap.
Here, I thought that was going to be his phone number, so no. I could just call him up.
But
that's really cool.
Yeah, so it's named after him, and you know, and to kind of put awareness out there, you know, especially after going through my own struggles and what I've just went through over the last 4 months of getting back. So yeah, this is my right now, hands down, my favorite guitar.
And there's any songs that you particularly use this one?
It's all the E flat song, okay. So it's song 3 through Glass. What else do we do in E flat? Tired. Thank you. That's all we use it for, right?
Cool.
So yeah, any of the E flat stuff, I'll be using this guitar. And it's pretty much set up like Rizzo, where it has the evolutions. I mean, from the spec side of things, it's identical.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but yeah.
But each guitar, like, with the indication of having different names, is, you know, has its own story.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Well, like I said, but this story is...
Special.
Is really special to me, so, and, you know, to put awareness out there for that.
Yeah.
And to tell people, hey, you know, a lot of people, you know, might be afraid to say something if they're struggling with stuff, and you know, to put it out there. As I said, I mean, I've dealt with it myself, and so yeah, it's very personal. As I said, and to honor him is just a bonus with it. So
it's a great nightly reminder.
Yeah. So
awesome.
I'll go ahead on to the next one. Okay.
Beautiful.
So my main, I guess, drop B guitar is the Paul Gilbert 900. And the great story is with this is I actually went to a Mr. Big show a couple years ago, and Paul gave me this guitar.
Oh, wow.
And this is the guitar that he used for his 20th anniversary show with Ibanez that he played, I believe, at the Whiskey.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah, and he signed the back of it. So... Which is,
what's it say? It says to Josh, and then it says rock enormously. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So,
Paul's a great dude.
Yeah, he's amazing. And pickups in this, I believe, were probably the Tone Zone and I think just the regular Path, I think. I could be wrong. I'd have to ask him to be... 100% sure, but I know for sure the bridge is a Tone Zone. So yeah, and I use this on the drop B stuff.
Excellent. And going through all your guitars as you get the next one, I was just curious if you're normally switching between neck and bridge positions, or are you normally bridge?
Sometimes I do for solos, and then I'll switch for into usually the middle position for clean.
Okay, cool. Boy.
So this is my backup C-sharp guitar. Paul Gilbert 100. The great thing is with this, or the story is this is the guitar that I had when I was 17 years old. Then I ended up getting rid of it, and I just got it back 23
wow.
years later.
So
this is the exact whoa, wow. model I had when I was a teenager. which he's, at the time, he signed all the back plates. And, you know, I did a couple mods to it, though. I put the locking tuners on mm-hmm. it, and it's blocked. But,
the trim there.
I couldn't believe it when it came up. I was like, I had to have it. So to get it this, I mean, over two decades later is amazing. So I decided to go ahead and bring it out. So
it's a beautiful guitar.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love the colors.
Mr. Big Days. All right. So keeping into the Paul Gilbert theme that we have going on,
Do you like Paul Gilbert?
Yeah, just kind of. This is the 700 that was made in 1997. Japan exclusive, only 50 were made. This is like a guitar I always wanted, and I ended up finding it in the Netherlands. And once again, it's signed by him. And it's guitar number 25.
Wow. And what do you, what gets this brought up for?
We use this in E-flat as a backup,
right.
as I look at my cheat sheets, as the set list changes. really, it's usually through glass that this gets played on. So I've had it out before with me. And it's pretty awesome. It sounds amazing. And this has tone zone and path for sure. I know that. DiMarzio.
It's a unique instrument for sure.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's fun to play too.
Oh.
Yeah. So the story with this guitar is I actually did the metal plating myself.
Yeah.
It's aluminum that I brushed, and these are actually really riveted in. I mean, there's like 130 some rivets I had to pre-drill, and I had like 20 hours in doing this whole thing, and I did it back in like 2002.
At any point, were you like about 10 hours in, you're like, shit, this is way more effort, or were you?
No, I was obsessed at that point. I was like, oh, this is gonna be awesome. And then, you know, when I was like doing all the pre-drilling for stuff, I was like, man, I'm so invested in time, I just hope I don't blow out one of these cavities
yeah, right.
trying to rivet into it. So this is the guitar for Drop B as a backup. It's just a Japanese-built 421. I've had it forever. I bought it in like 2001.
Mm.
So it's been on every Stone Sour tour at one point.
And I remember seeing this on stage and in other videos, but I don't recognize these pickups or the covers. Has that been updated?
These are the Steve I Dark Matter
okay.
that just came out.
Oh, all right. Which fits perfectly with
yeah,
those aesthetics.
I was like, you know, I want to try something different. And I knew, I mean, it would look amazing.
Yeah.
It was a toss-up between these and the Sonic Ecstasies. Which I have in another guitar, Petrucci's, and I just went ahead and went with these so we could try them out. It doesn't necessarily have the output that the Evolution mm-hmm. has, but they sound pretty clean, and so far I'm pretty happy with them. So.
Well, awesome. It's a nice little run-up of value bonuses there you got.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it constantly changes. I have like 60, 65 guitars.
Wow.
So, you know, like we've already talked, you know, the next run or in the US anyway, like I'll probably keep these out with me for obviously this run and
yeah.
then into Europe. But for Ozzy, I might bring out all my J Customs and I have all the exotic wood series. You know, it's like I got all these guitars, I'm going to bring them out and start playing
yeah, right?
instead of just keeping the same six that I always play. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Cool. Well, I know it's tight quarters, so we can't really move the cameras around, but let's just talk about the rest of your signal chain. I know you got Hughes and Kettner. So you were a long time user of the Triamp.
Yeah.
What else you got back there besides the Triamp?
I mean, for the amp, that's it.
Oh, so the Marshall, I didn't see the Marshall. I saw the Marshall was, that's
Corey's. Okay. Yeah. The only difference is I'm using the 3 now.
Okay.
You know, I was using the 2. And the great thing is with the 3 is the clean channel is a lot better than the 2. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that they've added the noise gate, which is awesome.
Built in, yeah.
Yeah, and it works kick-ass. And even the red box, you know, I run out of the red box that's built into the amp that goes into monitor world, and that's, you know.
It's clean and pure.
Well, what it gives me is that consistency night in, night out in my ears, what I'm used to. So, you know, other than that.
You got two heads where they just.
Yeah, one's a backup.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure.
You know, and then. From the amp standpoint, pretty much it's just an updated version of what I've always used.
I remember you used to, or I don't even know if you brought it on the road, was that Ampeg, the VL-502, or is that just something
I
you
used
for studio?
Just the studio.
Okay. Cool. Well.
Talking about the pedal board, I decided to do a complete overhaul when we were making Hydrograd, and really. What I wanted to build was something that I could have every tone that I had ever recorded on any album or what I would ever want. And I wanted to get the best stuff possible. And I spent weeks. Luckily, I'm really good friends with a guy in Des Moines that owns a boutique guitar store. So he let me, I'd go in there and I would take home, 20 fuzz pedals for the night.
Wow.
And just really AB.
Just run right through all their inventory.
Pretty much. He's like, yeah, just use whatever. And then, you know, because I mean, he knew that I was just going to buy whatever.
Yeah.
And going in to record that record, I had 92 pedals.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously I'm not going to have 92 pedals out with me. So I just condensed that down to the best stuff possible. And as you can see, I'm a huge fan of Strymon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and...
Which are a lot of people, though, so you're not alone. You're not alone.
And I mean, between the Strymon stuff and obviously the Eventide, it's like...
Stuff's so powerful.
Yeah, it's what else do I need? Okay, a decent fuzz. Well, I went ahead and got the Bumble fuzz that Jack White put out. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that pedals, it's just so over the top. There's, as you will see, there's just an on and off switch. That's it. There's no dialing it in. It's like, this is what you get. And when it's gnarly.
And when it gets kicked on, you know it's on.
Oh,
it's
not,
there's no subtlety with that pedal. We reviewed it for the magazine. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's a monster.
And I'm trying to think what else has really been added in there. I mean, like I said, pretty much it's just the Strymon and the Eventide, you know. Added the MXR sub machine, which is pretty cool. But right now, I mean, a couple of these pedals that are in there are if we do certain songs that we haven't done, you know, same with the sitar pedal.
Yeah, I was going to ask
Witness.
About that.
Okay. It's actually in there for if we do Witness Trees live.
Is it more like to cover like a 12-string sound or is it?
No, it's to do a sitar type sound because I played like a sitar on that song in the studio and I'm not going to bring the sitar out. So that's like the closest thing I could get, you know, to kind of mimic that sound that we had in the studio. And then the boost and the compression, which kind of speak for themselves, you know. And and then my two old reliables.
The noise suppressor and the
That tuner. Noise suppressor I've had for like, it's been around. It's knock on wood because it's like my last good one.
I was gonna just ask real quick. Sorry to interrupt. Was that I know that you mentioned that the amp has a noise gate. So how do you use that in conjunction with the amp?
Well, we've ran into situations. You know, we'll dial in the amp, and sometimes you just get into that festival situation where it's a throw and go, and you don't know. I don't know if necessarily my setting on the amp's going to work, and it is in the amp in the rack and can be difficult to get to. For certain songs, if I need to just cut in and out and it's very staccato, if I get any feedback, then we kick that on and it's just you know, it takes care of that situation. So right now it's kind of not ran like it used to be where it was nonstop, because we're just using the amp one. Mm-hmm. But like I said, when we're doing the festival settings and it's a throw and go and the back of this might be covered up kind of like it is now, and Warren doesn't have to sit there and fight it. He can just hit it and then, you know, we're good.
And the compressor, is that just on for like clean parts or is that on kind of all the time?
Actually, right now we're not using the compressor. So right now it's in there.
Just looking pretty.
We're really, yeah, pretty much. It's there if we need it. Right now we're really loving the clean sound that we have. And so, like I said, I also wanted to design a board that I could take in to record that would also have everything, whatever I would need. So the compressor pedal's there. As I said, I built it in case I needed it. And some of these pedals right now I'm not using, but like I said,
it's there.
It's there.
The one question I had just regarding song self-titled, I don't know if you guys play it live, but the self-titled song on the latest record, there's some like pitch shifting going on. Is that what you're using for the, or maybe Kristen's using it with the Pog, or is that what you're using the submachine for? It's an octave pedal or an octave bass fuzz.
No, for me on that song, I mean, we haven't played it live.
Yeah.
My sound was just my normal distorted.
Just dry, okay.
Yeah. That I think. I mean, I'd have to go back. I know we did some pitch shifting, but actually that was added after the fact and mix, actually, off of the original Eventide H3000.
All right.
To be 100% honest, I don't know whose guitar that's actually on. It could be on mine, completely. Now that you said that.
And then I guess the last part of the equation would be, I thought I saw them laying around, is the wahs. I know that you use a wah, and you're particular to the Dunlop Crybabies, but I think you had them modded to get off the, so you don't have to like, engage it. Oh, thank you, Warren.
Yeah, for me, this is the Kirk Hammett that we have out with us now, but I have a couple, and they modded them to be switchless.
Yeah, so you don't have to engage it.
Because I was a huge fan of Bad Horsey, but I don't necessarily like the sweep in it.
Yeah.
But I love the design. And we have two of these and Jerry Cantrell that's modded.
Yeah, now we've got the wall and we're talking about it. Is there a particular reason why you like the Hammett one? I know that now that's modded for you, but like why this one, there's certain distinction or the throw? Same thing with the Cantrell?
You know, it's Kirk Hammett. It's a wah pedal. Do I need to give you any more info than that?
I mean, if anyone's going to have a wah pedal, it should be Kirk Hammett.
I like both of them. I mean, obviously with anybody that knows me knows that Metallica's my favorite band.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fanboy thing for me. And the fact, what I love about it is Kirk had to approve them to do that mod for me. So he had to be contacted and he has to say, he had to sign off on them that mod for me.
That's cool.
So that was kind of cool. So that's, you know, and the Cantrell's amazing too, you know.
Just
so,
different flavors.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the situation. Once again, I had all these pedals. I had like 8 wah pedals in the studio. And
they all go wah.
Yeah, yeah. And this, Jay Rustin, our producer, is about ready to lose his mind. I was like, okay, we got to try the Petrucci. Okay, we got to try, you know, Bonamassa's. Okay, you know, we got to try the hand-wired Vox. And as I said, you know, out here, these are what I've used. I mean, I think I've had the Hammetts out with us since Audio Secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've been, the other thing is reliability too. You know, as I said, they've been out now for 3 cycles.
Wow.
And
speaks to the durability.
Yeah.
And 2 big knobs.
Yeah. And they've been, beat up and everything you can think of, and we haven't had any problems. So, as I jinxed myself, probably. See you next time. I'll be like, you know what happened like 2 shows later?
Fuck those Hammett wahs.
Yeah, that fucking wah died on me. And that's basically the rundown.
Killer, man.
I like to keep stuff. I say punk rock, and then I have Strymon and Eventide, you know.
90-some guitars, I've 60-some guitars, 90 pedals.
Yeah, but it's fun. Oh, one other thing, though. Speaking of the pedal board, one thing that I did this time, as you can see, there's two rows here. So the pedals on the front hit the amp in the front.
All right.
Front side of the amp, and then the modulation and reverb go through the effects loop.
Got it.
You know?
Keep them separated.
Yeah, it just sounds better to me, you know? And that's basically it. And we're being pushed off the stage.
Josh, appreciate it,
awesome, man.
Thank you. From one Iowan to another?
Yes.
Thanks for your work. Come here, guitar.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers. See you soon.